What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. But this is not the full podcast. This is just a little quick chat between me and the artist. Check this out. If you like this beat was provided by Karan Goodman of the legendary group The Youngsters. Peace, Q. Yeah, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Doggy Diamonds. You already know Doggy Diamonds TV, as you can see. I got my little young homie with me. Let him know who you be.
Yeah, my name is Brother Marcus. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm 17, and I'm within the conscious community, studying thoroughly, learning information about our ancestry, about ancient Kemet, about black oppression in general, and just trying to contribute my piece to the movement, to the progression.
And I'm from Brooklyn, too, and that's important for me to say because Brooklyn is the fucking best.
The best.
So, Marcus, you have a debate coming up. Mm-hmm. Tell the people about the debate.
So the debate is at 570 Fulton at Nicholas Bookstore. It's $20 to get in. I'm debating a Jew, and the topic is whether blacks and Jews should unify. So this Jewish individual, being a college graduate, seems like a formidable challenge. Seems like someone who is definitely up to par, who's adequate intellectually, and who can interface with me scholastically, or who can debate me scholastically. So my goal is to go in there that day and, you know, do him some serious damage.
Do him dirty.
Basically. Like, I want to show him how we get down in Brooklyn. I want to show him how Brownsville get down, how every part of Brooklyn gets down. Because at the end of the day, scholastically, black people are underestimated. And the indoctrination has been set up for us to be underestimated in every field of scholarship, for us to be underpaid in every field of scholarship. Because even if you have the highest grades, they'll still think that you are subpar, that you cannot compete with the Asian or the European or any shade that is lighter than you. So with that being the case, when I go in there that day, I'm going to reverse indoctrinate brothers and sisters. I'm going to reverse engineer the indoctrination that you have. So some of us may come in there that day under the pretense that this Jewish man may win. Some of us may have the false assumption that this Jewish man may win, because the majority of us are Christian, and in the Bible, the Jews are the chosen people. So how could this chosen individual beat someone who in their holy scripture is cursed due to his skin? So I'm going to show you just how cursed we are. I'm going to show you how cursed people, how a cursed people can get down. So when I walk in there, I am going to do something vicious scholastically to this man. I'm going to embarrass him and show him out.
Let me ask you something. When I think about the debate, I'm like, this is kind of like a no-brainer, because what have we done together that was helpful to us in any way? I mean, I think due to integration, that's what fucked a lot of shit up for us. You know what I'm saying? So I want to know from you, how did this conversation with you and him start that we can help you with the Jews, or we should join together so we can help you?
Yeah. Like, so now I'm in a group called the Amun Ra Squad, and I'm part of a specific faction within the Amun Ra Squad called the Amun Ra Squad Next Generation. So what the group promotes is scientific literacy and accurate thought by way of science. So now, in science, you know, you come up with a hypothesis, you test it in an experiment, and your research can be subject to scrutiny. You have to have other people do the testing that you did and get similar results in order for what you claim to be true, in order for it to be an objective truth, in order for it to be true everywhere. So I can do an experiment, he can come up with one test result, he can come up with another test result, and he can come up with a completely different test result. Thus, it isn't true in every reality. But people do test experiments for gravity, and no matter where you go, Switzerland, Jamaica, Haiti, or America, everyone knows that gravity is real, because in all the experiments, you've produced similar results. So it's promoted in science to subject yourself to scrutiny and other people's opinions. So with that being said, this consciousness has caused me to get a multitude of friends from a multitude of different ethnicities mm-hmm. in order to receive their opinions about my work and about my opinions on their culture and my own people's culture. I want to understand how they gauge us, because at the end of the day, it will aid me in my agenda to convey a message to them without offending them. And sometimes they need to be offended. And I wouldn't even say need to be offended, because when you state the truth, it hurts. White people don't want to hear about slavery, but it's the truth. If it offends you, that has nothing to do with me. It is your truth. It is your reality. So at the end of the day, I get a multitude of friends from a multitude of different realities to understand how to convey different messages to different groups of people. So me and Jeffrey Rosenberg, we met each other and we were really appreciating the dialogues that we had, and they were getting more and more progressive the longer we knew each other. So now, you know, I hit Jeffrey up and I'm like, "Shalom, my good brother," and I'm talking to him and we having dialogue. So everything is friendly. And long story short, the conversation comes up one day as to whether blacks and Jews should unify. So I share my disposition and I say, I don't believe that blacks and Jewish people should unify, not on a political level, not on a social level. I believe that there was that they should respect each other on a social level, but I don't believe that they should unify, because their very spiritual book stipulates certain things that work against us. So with that being the case, I don't think that unification would work out well for us. In their very own homeland, we don't receive treatment that is considered equal. So with that being the case, on what level will unification work well between blacks and Jews? When we observe history, every time we've unified, it's turned into a situation where they've exploited as opposed to utilized. So they didn't necessarily come together and use us for their benefit while we're using them or utilizing them for our benefit. This wasn't a mutual exchange. We were being exploited. We were making no profit while they were making all the profit. They've enslaved us. They've participated in the robbery of our birthright to dignity, of our birthright to self-confidence, of our birthright to knowledge itself. So with that being the case, if they've participated in the slaughter, if they've participated in the indoctrination that cripples us in this day and age, it only suffices for me to bring a Jew in to debate so that I can expose these realities. And long story short, as we kept dialoguing, we came up with a point of contention. I said that blacks and Jews shouldn't unify. He said that blacks and Jews should unify. And we had the facilitator, Sonetta, come. And, you know, we brought the idea to him. And we basically talked about it. And the event got facilitated. So now we're at Nicholas Bookstore on 570 Fulton Street. And when the debate goes down, be prepared to see black scholarship at its finest. It's $20 to get in. And when you come in, I need everyone to have the right mindset. The media has done an effective job at limiting our perception of what war is. So thus, we don't come into an arena understanding that we're in an arena. Since the media has limited our perception of what war is, we don't see what I'm doing as part of war. We don't see what I'm doing as part of the warfare. So at the end of the day, the media has convinced you that war is exclusive to superficial acts of violence. The media has convinced you that war is exclusive to someone shooting, bombing, or committing acts of violence that are easily visible. But at the end of the day, war is much greater than that. I read a book called The 33 Strategies of War, and in the first chapter, it said, declare war on your enemies. So now, at this point in time, black people have a multitude of enemies, right? And if you're fighting a war, you have to know who your opposition is. You have to know who the people that are working against your agenda are. Because if you don't know who they are, you won't be able to stop what you don't know of. You can't block a hit that you don't see coming. So with that being the case, right now, I'm declaring war on our enemy. Right now, I'm making it obvious and plain who our enemy is. Now, since the media has limited what our perception of war should be, we just see this as a simple debate. But these are things that are happening in real time to black people abroad and in present day all over. So in Israel, blacks are being treated unfairly. In this day and age, blacks in America are being treated unfairly. And part of the reason we are being treated unfairly is due to the media, which is owned by the majority of which Jewish people. It's owned by Jewish people, and they're contributing to our oppression. So now, right now, we're not going to this debate. This is a part of the ongoing war. People don't want to call it a war because they don't recognize war as being an indoctrination by way of the education system. They don't recognize war as being owning no stores in the community and having people of other races owning all the stores in the community. They don't recognize war as being impoverished and indoctrinated into a belief system that isn't yours. They only see war as guns and bombs, but this is a part of war as well. Discussions and debates are a part of war as well. I'm helping people to better mobilize, to better recognize the way in which the oppression works. Every time a war is initiated on a group of people, what the media makes sure that it does is motivate the army to go into war. So when the Native Americans were eliminated, they were depicted negatively. When Alton Sterling was murdered, he was depicted negatively. And the reason they do this is because they want to produce a social consensus in the minds of white people that these group of people are negative. So that when this person dies, all the sympathy is drained from your heart and you feel no way about it. So at the end of the day, these people, Jewish people, who own the majority of the media, are responsible for this very same activity. Indirectly, they're responsible for the murder of Alton Sterling as well. Indirectly, they're responsible for the murder of Trayvon Martin as well. Because in their media, we are depicted and overrepresented as criminals. So with that being the case, with this unfair representation of us, they are accomplices in the murder of black people. So now that you know who your enemy is, now that you know who's working against your agenda, and, you know, people might say, what agenda? Well, the first law of nature is self-preservation. You have an agenda to preserve yourself as a race. And certain groups of people are seeing to it that you can't. So with that being said, now that you know what your agenda is and you know who's working against your agenda, it is your obligation. It is your duty. It is incumbent upon you to come to the debate so that you can support your brother in exposing the racism that exists in the spiritual doctrines of the so-called Jewish people. It is your obligation to come to the debate and support your brother in exposing the systematic injustice that takes place, in exposing the pattern of oppression that takes place from these Jewish people. And I'm not racist. I'm a realist. If I identify history and that history is factual, it doesn't make me one who has a prejudice towards a specific group of people. Everything that I'm going to identify in that debate is a reality. So if anyone feels a way, I'm not even going to apologize because I'm with Doggy Diamonds. We have no filter. I'm just going to tell it to you like it is. We got to talk the talk that need to be talked.
Oh, at all times.
So at the end of the day, when I go into that debate, I'm going to show you history. And the way in which you feel about the history that I show you is how you feel about it. But there's going to be no filter. I am going to expose the accomplices of our murder for who they are.
Let me ask you one last thing before we go. You being 17 years old, your peers that are your age,
yeah, 15,
16, 17, 18, do they give a fuck? About because I don't know the climate, because I'm not around the youth like that the way I used to be. Do they give a fuck about what's going on? Do they give a fuck about the presidential debates? Do they give a fuck about what's happening in society with the police killings and all that? Is the consciousness rising, in your opinion?
Absolutely. The thing is, they don't recognize why a fuck should be given if they don't give a fuck. So people in the hood, because you got to understand, a lot of times, The immediate pressures of your environment can impede you from actually having your thoughts expand outside of your immediate environment.
Four corners of, the block.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, if you have a mother who may be a crack fiend, who isn't taking care of what she needs to take care of, if you have a sister who needs new Jordans while you need new Jordans, then all these pressures, whether they're illusions or reality, might cause you to do things that you feel can compensate for your void. You may have sex with a multitude of women due to the fact that you're trying to compensate for your missing mother. You may have a bunch of gang leaders that are older than you that are telling you what to do due to the fact that you need to compensate for your missing father. Mm-hmm. You may have a multitude of friends who live in projects who, because I used to live in the projects and I walked in my staircase. I seen shit in my staircase.
Literally.
Yeah. Fecal matter in my staircase. I walked in my elevator and I seen piss.
Literally.
So you had to stand in the corners and kind of just, I don't know, play corners a little bit and wait till you got out the elevator. And sometimes you couldn't even walk in because it was so bad. So now people internalize this reality. And when you have this belief that God exists, it starts to play tricks on your consciousness. Because you start to ask yourself,
why God?
Exactly. Why would you put me in this circumstance to be subject to shit in my staircases and piss in my elevator? Why is it that my people are the only group of people who worship a God that has no relation to them, that doesn't even look like them? You have Chinese people who worship Chinese gods. They always make the gods in their image. You have European people who worship European gods. They always make the gods in their image. Why is it that the God that I worship doesn't look like me, and the people whom it does look like are always living better than me? Why is it that when I walk into these white communities, their communities look better than mine? When I go into funerals, the funeral color corresponds with the title of my skin, black. But then when I walk into weddings, it corresponds with the title of the skin that corresponds with the God that is also white. So at the end of the day, people internalize these realities and they start to say, what's the point of me giving a fuck about this black power?
We ain't shit anyway.
Exactly. We living in the projects. I'm walking in my, no matter what you say, I'm a king and my bloodline was royalty, I still walk in my staircase and see shit.
I ain't living like a king, yeah.
Exactly. I still walk in my elevator and see piss. So people don't know why they should give a fuck. Now, I tell you why it's very important to give a fuck. The brother, the martyr that shot 11 police officers, I think it was, in Dallas. When he shot those police officers, you got to understand, he was seen at a Professor Griff, I think it was. Mm-hmm. He was seen at a Professor Griff lecture. And he went to the lectures, went to the rallies, to the debates in order to bear witness to the information. Now, I'll tell you what the difference between him and the average black individual is. The average black individual sees the police shootings, and do you know what he says? He says, yo, why these niggas keep dying?
Yeah.
The cops is just out here
just killing motherfuckers.
Yeah, they just clipping niggas for nothing. Yeah. And so, for some reason, the coincidence or the occurrence, the reoccurring theme always so happens to be a white cop shooting killing a black man. So what is it about us that's so intimidating to them? And it's very interesting, like this little paradigm, because on one end, white people are infatuated with us. They love us. They love our culture. They want to imitate us.
They but love y'all lips. End, they love y'all women lips. They love y'all booty. They love y'all breasts. And they got y'all injecting shit in your body to look like what you already look like.
Exactly. So long story short, they're infatuated with us on one end, but then they fear us on another end. So it's a very strange, it's ambivalence. It's two emotions that are contradictory, but are existing at the same time. So long story short, people are saying to themselves, these niggas just keep dying, but we don't know why. And for some reason, it always so happens to be a white cop and a black individual. So with that being the case, people may reason that, you know what? It's because we actually are niggas. We probably ain't worth shit. Some people may reason that, yo, white people just mean. White people just evil. But at the end of the day, if you understood the history, you would see how there's a residue of racism existing in American society. How there's a residue of racism that is creating the systematic injustices that we bear witness to. So, for instance, when slavery ended, do you know why Jim Crow came into existence? Because the interval between slavery's birth and slavery's death was 400 years. White supremacy is a belief, not a reality. My dick might be bigger than his. And by his, I'm talking about the white man. If my dick is bigger than his, he'll come, pause, he'll come into my land, convince me that his dick is bigger, and indoctrinate me into a system where I'm now trying to get my dick whiter so it could be bigger. You understand what I'm saying? So long story short, these people are indoctrinating us into believing that white is superior. And when they're doing these things, the residue of how long we've allowed the concept of their superiority to exist is manifesting in our reality. So slavery existed for 400 years. That's 400 years of being legally able to rape someone, legally able to kill someone, legally able to treat them like dogs. That's 400 years of doing that. And then they call us equal. Do you really expect someone to change a culture of oppression that existed for 400 years in one day? Absolutely not. The residue is going to filter into society. So Jim Crow is going to be created. Convict leasing is going to be created. Black men are going to die. Black women are going to get raped. The criminal justice system is going to be biased. Only because at the end of the day, we are experiencing the residue of an oppression that has existed for so long. But not to forget my initial point, people who understand this history can generate way more passion for fighting the oppression than those who don't understand the history, because those who don't understand the history are seeing the effects but can't bear witness to the cause. Those who do understand the history understand the cause and bear witness to the effects, and they understand how long this has been going on. So this shooting wasn't the byproduct of one death, two deaths, three deaths. This man understood that for 500 years plus, we've been subject to the same thing within this land. In fact, we are the makers of this land. There is nothing more American than a black man, because without a black man, there would be no America. So long story short, we're the makers of this land, and he understands this, but yet we still get disrespected in this country. So with that being the case, internalizing all this information, he feels much more of a way than the black people who've been deprived of the memory of our history. He feels much more of a way. And since he feels so much passion for his people, he got so frustrated and decided to let it off on several police officers and kill several of them. Is it justified? Was it the right thing to do? I'll say it's the natural thing to do. And I'll tell you why. When we're in the projects, because I lived in a project and the project right down the block had beef with the project that I lived in. When someone in our piece got hit, the first thing we would do is try to figure out who's bragging about the hit. Who's talking about the hit? So the Facebooks would get watched. You know, we're checking the Instagrams. We got other people in their hood talking to us about what's going on. So long story short, word would come back that we don't know who's claiming the body, but we know that they're saying that they scored the point. So if you scored the point and we can't pinpoint who hit my man, then all we can say is we know who the affiliates are, so they need to get hit. Long story short, in any other country, this is the pattern that takes place. If a terrorist attack happens, when 9/11 happened, all we knew, or all we thought we knew, is that Arabs attacked us.
So all Arabs is guilty.
Basically. So now, when the oppression starts to happen, we don't say, who was this specific Arab that did it? We don't say, oh, we're only going to pick on Saddam Hussein. The racism towards Muslims in general got worse. Why? Because people understood that if you hit one of mine and I can't identify who did it specifically, I'm going to hit one of yours. I'm going to hit one of your affiliates. So long story short, I'm not saying that he was right. I'm not saying that he was wrong. What I'm saying is, it's natural.
It was the get back.
Basically.
He couldn't pinpoint this specific cop. And even when you did pinpoint the specifics of what happened and who did it, they still got away with it.
In order for the youth to start giving a fuck, they have to understand the history. They have to understand how it relates to them. When they don't understand the history, when they don't understand how it relates to them, when they don't understand the effect that it may potentially have, then there's no reason to give a fuck. We can only give a fuck when we understand how the history relates to us. Imagine if everyone in the projects knew that 9 times out of 10, the only reason I'm living in the projects is because of white people. Everything would be a whole different ballgame. Imagine if everyone that sent their child to public school knew my child is learning history that doesn't necessarily relate to him. They would embed their child with convictions that correspond with black empowerment. So long story short, what we need to do is make sure that we teach our children how the history relates to them. We need to make sure that we teach our children what particular aspect of the history has affected them so that they can actually start caring. Most black people don't know why their children get beat so aggressively. They don't know what it relates to. Most black people don't know why they worship gods that don't look like them. Most black people don't know why Jewish people are so successful, how the world banks have been established, what's the history of some of the very churches that they go to. Most black people really do not know. So at the end of the day, if they don't know, they won't know how the history relates to them. And this is my last piece. I went to go see Birth of a Nation, right? Mm-hmm. So now when I go to see Birth of a Nation, the movie made me very emotional. I caught the Holy Ghost, you feel me? I caught the Holy Conscious Ghost. Like, something came into my spirit, and I'm just in the movie theater yelling, like, where's white Jesus? So I almost got kicked out, but they let me stay. And long story short, I saw one part of the movie, and, you know, it was just so contradictory, and it made me so frustrated. Like, out of every moment that a person could have went and shot up a movie theater, why didn't they shoot that movie up? Long story short, I'm watching a movie, and, you know, Nat Turner is a kid, and the master's wife is trying to teach Nat Turner how to read. So now, Nat Turner walks towards a bookshelf. He goes to grab some books, and she said, no. Those books are not for niggas. Those books are for white folk. This is the book you need to be reading. And then she hands him the Bible. So now, she says, this is the best book. But those books right there aren't for you. They're too much for your kind. So with that being the case, if those books are too much for my kind, why would you go and give me the best book? It makes absolutely no sense. But when you start understanding how it relates to you, when you start understanding how the Bible cripples you, then you'll see why they gave him that book, the best book, but couldn't give him the books that weren't for niggas. Then you'll recognize it. Because if you're a slave, I don't want you to disobey. If you're a slave, I don't want you to feel a way towards me when I commit acts of injustice towards you. You know what I want you to feel? I want you to understand in your consciousness that you will obtain a better position in the afterlife so long as you allow me to abuse you and forgive and forget in this life. I don't forgive and forget. I forgive and take note. The Bible was teaching our brothers and sisters in that day and age to forgive and forget. It was inclining our desire not to defend ourselves. So at the end of the day, if this is what the Bible was doing, and the majority of blacks are Christians today, how do you think it helps blacks when black people are under attack? In no way, shape, or form. And I'll give you a modern day example. Dylann Roof went to go shoot up a church. He shoots 9 black people, and they go into court saying, we forgive you. They go into court saying that we forgive you, we love you, and we're praying for you. So they went and prayed for the person who killed the people that were praying.
Praying at the same time.
So the house of God isn't safe from white supremacy. Clearly that God wasn't working for black people that day. Because when he walked in there, he let them shots go and walked out. And what's interesting is that the leader of the church had the opportunity to defend himself. Do you know in these white churches, these very famous white churches where the Pope goes to speak, they have men in the army standing on rooftops ready, waiting for somebody to try it.
Pop off.
Try it. And they will show you better than they can tell you how strong white supremacy is. When that bullet is in your chest and you're bleeding and you haven't even gotten a chance to lay a finger on the Pope, they'll show you better than they can tell you. But black people, for some reason, are the only people who believe that we're more righteous for not defending ourselves.
And I want to say, too, yo, you can't pray everything away, man. Sometimes you got to go lace up your fucking boots and go hit them concrete and make it happen. And I'm not telling you, I'm not inciting you to do anything irrational, whatever the case may be. But you got to get the fuck up off your knees, man. Because all I see on Facebook is pray on it. And I'm going to pray for you and all that shit. Look, and we've been praying for thousands of years. And them shits ain't got answered yet.
Absolutely not. So
on that note, I don't even know what else to say. I'm not telling you to stop. I'm just telling you, you're going to have to adjust some of your strategies. Because that strategy alone is not working for us. So I'm Doggy Diamonds. This is
Brother Marcus.
And debate. We out of here, man.
Yeah, we got that debate.
Yeah.
570 Fulton, $20 to get in. Just bear witness to black greatness and watch me work.
So that right there is called a quick chat. It's not a full podcast, but it's a quick little chat between me and the artist. If you like that, download it, share it. If you can't listen to it now, download it for later. Make sure you watch the full video because it is on YouTube/Doggy Diamonds TV. Doggy Diamonds TV on YouTube. Peace.